our 12th season. You know, I really don't need to mention that we are only 31 days away from the November elections, and you know that we can't go more than 60 seconds without hearing on the radio or watching on television a political commercial for one of the presidential candidates and all of those down-ticket candidates. So we decided that today's theme for our 10-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater had to have something to do with elections, not the presidential or the candidates running for the U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin, but for several people running for political office way down, or maybe even way up the political ticket, depending on how you look at things, of course. That's why today we feature our trio of election comedies. We feature Fibber McGee and Molly, our Miss Brooks, and another installment of our hit series, It's the Professor. So before I tell you about those wonderful business entities that make our broadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater possible, we have these candidates ready to give you just a hint, a tiny morsel, of what they are running for and why.
Oh, are we live right now on the radio? Oh, okay. My name is Fibber McGee from 79 Wistful Vista, and I approve this message. As a candidate for mayor of our fair Wista Vilsa, I am running for just running against our mayor, Fiorella de la Trivia. But rather, I'm running for the people of Wistful Vista. Everyone. Yes, that means I'm running for Gildy, the old-timer, sweet little teeny, Doc Gamble, Uppy, although many of you know her as Abigail Uppington, and, of course, Wallace Wimple.
And what about me, dearie?
Oh, and, of course, my dear, sweet wife of all these many years, the woman I love since I met her down in Peoria, Illinois, Molly McGee. That's why I'm running for mayor. And if I win, I promise to clean out my hall closet so it's not quite as messy. And I promise I will only use the U.S. Postal Service for all my postal needs. Never anything private, especially out of my other closet down in the basement. And I will never use bad words in front of children or anyone else. Or my name isn't Fibber McGee, your candidate for mayor of Wistful Vista.
In just a minute, we will join the entire cast of Fibber McGee and Molly, but first this.
Good morning. My name is Constance Brooks, but most people call me Connie. You also might know me as your Miss Brooks. As one of the English teachers at Madison High School, I've had the honor of teaching many fine young students, like Walter Denton and sweet Harriet Conklin, daughter of our quite distinguished and dynamic school principal, Mr. Osgood Conklin. My reason for taking 30 seconds right now at the beginning of this morning's broadcast is to announce that I am the proud candidate for the Faculty Senate at Madison High School. My campaign will be low-key. I promise one thing and one thing only, that if I am elected, I promise I will always represent all of my fellow teachers with dignity and pride. And I shall always be seated right next to Philip Boynton. And in my attempt to be totally transparent, which is so unusual in today's political theater, let me say this about Mr. Boynton, which I know has nothing to do whatsoever with why I'm running for the Faculty Senate. Although Mr. Boynton was not completely oblivious to my advances, our relationship never moved further during the course of our time together at Madison High. I will always do my best as a member of the Madison Faculty Senate if elected. I'm Constance Brooks, your Miss Brooks, and I approve this message.
Election coverage, news, making sure that our audience wants to listen to our public radio station. Why? Because we do our best to provide our listeners with current news, well-reported, and important commentary. And this is a perfect time to tell you that support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah, Dumais, and McTernan, the Brown Oyster Performing Arts Foundation in Salem, Wisconsin, and Lake Lawn Resort, located here in Delavan, Wisconsin. Before we tune in on Fibber McGee and Molly, Our Miss Brooks, and It's the Professor, we bring you this.
I don't know just how much time I have, so let me get right to the point, because that's how I roll, as you know. My name is Chutzi Katzenberg, and I'm proud to announce this morning that I'm a candidate for chairperson for the board of directors at Boca del Rio Phase 3. Now, if elected, I promise three things. First and foremost, I promise to make sure that our clubhouse bar is well-stocked with only the finest beverages that our very fiscally conservative treasurer will approve. Second, I will always make decisions that are in the best interests of all the Boca del Rio Phase 3 residents. Yes, even the people I really don't like. And third, I promise, if elected, to make sure that I will all... Oh, my name is Chuck.
Well, now that we've had those political announcements, it's time to present our three election specials today. Well, the Good Government Club of Wistful Vista has offered to sponsor the one mayoral election debate this year, and here, getting ready to go into that big debate against the incumbent Mayor LaTrivia at election headquarters, which also happens to be at 79 Wistful Vista, we find those two brand new politicians, the candidate and his campaign manager, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dad, Rennett, why can't I get this speech of mine in shape?
McGee, haven't you finished that yet?
Nah, I'm still on page one.
McGee, have you got time to help me, especially since you're still on page one?
Yeah. And you know what? I now got two pinkies on each hand. My four fingers are worn down to the second knuckle. And for what? This dumb speech I have to make at the Wistful Vista Ladies Club on Wednesday at noon.
Mrs. Uppington talked you into that, huh?
Yep. She told me that many of her uppity lady friends are not happy with good old Mayor LaTrivia.
Really? Why's that, McGee?
Don't know for sure, but Doc Gamble apparently told Gilby, who spilled the beans to Wallace Wimple, that the town forgot to plow the snow from the lady's driveway 3 years ago.
McGee, that was a long way to go for that storyline.
Maybe it's just a tall story that should be entered in the contest at the Elks Club. $200, first prize, entries to be in by 5 o'clock. As they say, tall stories seem to flock together like a gaggle of geese.
Tain't funny, McGee. You should be working on your opening speech for the debate and not worrying about a flock of geese.
Gaggle! It's a gaggle, not a flock. You're probably right, Molly. My audience will want to know why, and I should be mayor and not LaTrivia. Well, it's probably some campaign worker needing a handout. Let me go check. Hello, sis.
Hi, mister.
What's up with you?
Up where? In the sky? Hi, mister.
I mean, what's going on? Why are you here this morning?
My daddy said you were running. Why, mister?
Well, little girl, your father is absolutely right on the money.
Money? I don't got money. How much?
No. What I mean is, your father is correct. I'm running for mayor of Wistful Vista.
Running? Why do you have to run? I mean, why can't you just walk? Walk, like the rest of us.
Huh?
I mean, running can wear you down, make you wind down very fast, like all those clocks at our house.
Oh, I get it. No. It's like this, sis. I'm a candidate for mayor.
Oh, you can do that, mister.
Why is that, sis? And I know I'm going to be in big trouble for asking this question of you. But anyway, why can't I be a candidate for mayor?
Because my daddy tells me that you have to be born here in America to run for office. And you said, I just heard you say, that you were a Canadian for office, for mayor. That's what I heard I did.
No, sis. I said candidate, which means I'm running for office. I'm not a Canadian. And although they are all very nice people, I was born right here in Wistful Vista in the United States of America.
Okay, mister. But I have to tell my friend Billy that you are Canadian for office for mayor of Wistful Vista, which means that you are running against our beloved Mayor La Trivia.
That's right, sis. No, not a Canadian, but a candidate. Oh, never mind.
It's okay, mister. Nuts. Anyway, I guess that's why Mayor La Trivia came to our house yesterday to talk to my daddy. And he brought a big, fat, 20-pound frozen turkey with him and gave it to my daddy, wrapper and all. I think it was a brother ball.
I think you mean butter ball. But in any case, do me a favor, sis.
Hi, mister. Huh? Oh, what?
Please tell your father that I will call the trimmings the next time I stop by your house.
Mister, I have to go now. Billy and I have to... Bye, mister.
Sweet little girl. So inquisitive. She reminds me so much of my own dear Molly, the way she asks such cute and adorable questions. So funny, thinking I was a Canadian.
McGee, who was that at the door?
It was a little teeny, something about Mayor LaTrive hauling over a 20-pound frozen turkey to Teeny's house just for a couple of votes. Who ever heard of such a thing?
Well, I never.
Politicians should never, ever be paying for votes.
McGee, is that like pay to play?
Not sure, Molly. Not sure about that.
Now, who could that be at this time on a Saturday morning?
Look, Molly, it's Abigail Uppington. All dolled up, and I do mean Mrs. Abigail Uppington, the prominent, in certain places, society leader of Wistful Vista.
Well, hello, Abigail.
How do you do, Mrs. McGee and Mr. McGee?
Hey there, Uppy. What cosmic upheaval has lured you out of your beautiful uptown estate?
Well, certainly not to get one of your campaign signs. Anyway, Mrs. McGee.
Then why, Abigail?
Well, my Phoebe, my dear, sweet little Phoebe, is lost.
Oh, heavenly days. You're Pekingese.
Oh, yes. Oh, my baby, and I'm so upset, really. She is the love of my life,
oh,
you know.
Calm yourself, Uppy. Where was the little doggy last seen last?
Well,
and how was she
last
dressed?
Well, she was last seen down the middle of the block, and she had on her best rhinestone collar and a Saks Fifth Avenue sweater and her little leather booties.
Don't that make you sick, Molly? I mean, Phoebe. To think little Phoebe is lost.
Yes, and better dressed than I am, too.
No, dear, no levity. I am horribly perturbed.
I know you are, Abigail.
And now, Mr. McGee, I need to find my little Phoebe.
Why don't you advertise for her, Uppy?
Oh, no, it wouldn't do the slightest good, Mr. McGee. Phoebe can't read.
Not even one of McGee's campaign signs.
Oh, no, Mrs. McGee. Her eyes aren't very good these days. In fact, she still has an appointment next week for a fitting.
For a new skirt?
Oh, no, Mrs. McGee. For a new pair of glasses. A special pair, just for her.
Have you searched the neighborhood for little Phoebe, Abigail?
Oh, yes. My butler, Witherspoon, spent the entire afternoon searching for her, going round and round the block calling, Phoebe! Phoebe! Phoebe!
With what results?
With the result that he was promptly trounced by a brutal truck driver at whom he happened to be looking when he last called Phoebe.
Oh, don't worry about her, Abigail. She probably eloped with some traveling Airedale. Or maybe some politician out grousing for some more votes, like the trivia.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Mr. McGee. Phoebe would have nothing to do with other dogs. Or with most politicians,
Why, she is almost as human as I.
Well, now that golden opportunity has slipped past,
let's discuss something more amusing. Look at these old love letters of mine, Abigail. I found them in the attic. Shall I read you a few?
Well, anything, dear, to get my mind off my poor little Phoebe.
I don't know why you're worried about that, Phoebe. Uppy, personally, I have always considered Phoebe the kind of dog that shouldn't happen to anybody.
Like most politicians, elected or just running, none of them could ever match up against my little Phoebe. Oh, I am so wrung out, just like a mop.
Yes, well, anyway, forget your grief for a moment, Abigail. I want to read you one of these letters.
Oh, Molly, please, those letters are sacred between you, me, and you. Like a lawyer and her client.
Don't be so fussy, dearie. Now, listen to this one, Abigail. Oh, darling Molly Cuddles, when you refused to kiss me after the basketball game tonight, you broke my heart into tiny fragments. And, sweetheart, there aren't many cures for a broken heart.
Oh, good heavens, many cures.
What's the matter, Uppy?
Manicure, I just remembered. I forgot and left Phoebe at the beauty parlor getting a Marcel and a manicure.
Marcel? Who is that?
Mr. McGee, it's not a who, it's a what.
It's a what? Why is that?
Mr. McGee, you must be living in a fishbowl, or maybe you just digested all those little fishies. A Marcel wave is a stylish wave given to the hair by means of heated curling irons. Originally known as the undulation Marcel, the name then evolved to the Marcel wave.
Speaking of waves, Abigail, it's starting to rain.
Which means, I guess, that it's time for you to wave goodbye. So you can go back and fetch your little Fido Phoebe.
Oh, that poor dear little thing. Why, my little precious must have almost suffocated under that horrible and stuffy dryer. Now, if you'll excuse me. Mother's coming, Phoebe! Mother's coming!
Bye-bye,
Bye,
Abigail.
Come
Hope
again
to see you
sometime.
Soon.
A long time away. It's too bad, Molly.
What's too bad, McGee?
I have a bad feeling right about now.
And why is that, McGee?
Well, we only have a few minutes left in this segment of the election show trio, so you know what that means.
Yes, McGee, I know. That bad feeling is just walking up to the door right to about now.
I guess I have the honors.
Hello, McGee.
Well, well, good morning to you, Mr. Mayor, and how are you this fine day?
I'm just fine. And you, Molly?
I'm fine, Mr. Mayor. Would you like some candy?
Thank you, no. I'm on a low-carbohydrate diet. Sorry.
Well, you better stock up on them then, Latriv. They're telling me there's going to be a shortage on low-carbohydrants.
You don't say. If I might make a suggestion, McGee, it would be to the effect that some people who have no clear comprehension of a subject under discussion would be well advised to maintain a discreet silence.
I don't get it.
Well, he said, dearie, that if ignorance is bliss, happy days are here again. Or, if you don't know what you're talking about when you pipe up, pipe down.
Sounds like good political advice to me, McGee.
Oh, yeah? Now, look here now,
just Latrim. A moment, McGee. Will you please refrain hereafter?
Don't ask him to make any promises about the hereafter, Mr. Mayor. His forwarding address is unknown, even though he's running against you for mayor of our fair town.
What are you talking anyway, Latrivia? And quit shaking your finger in my face. I'm liable to think it's Halloween and start bobbing for knuckles. Trick-or-treating is not far off, and then we'll see who has the best bag of candy left over on election day come November 8th.
All right, but hereafter, McGee, please refrain from telling people in town that you are not Canadian, because they might believe that you are from that country to the north.
And I promise you this, we will not be building a wall. Maybe some nice tourist attractions, but no walls.
Okay, McGee, when we have our one candidate's debate coming up in a few weeks, I will promise to assure our audience that you are truly an American citizen, born in the USA, period.
That's awfully civil of you, Latriv.
Well, folks, our time's up for today. Thanks for letting us come into your homes once again. With beautiful Lake Lawn Resort on Delavan Lake.
Goodbye, all.
This is your announcer, Steve Brown, thanking you for joining us for segment one of our comedy election trio. Today, we've once again been visiting Wistful Vista and our good friends Fibber McGee and Molly. Our stars from the 91.1 Players were Vicky Dumais as Mrs. Ubbington, Steve Dundas as Mayor Latrivia, Susan Lean as Molly, John Oleksy as Fibber McGee, and Janelle Powers as Teeny. Well, that music means it's time now for our Miss Brooks, our favorite high school English teacher at beautiful, wonderful Madison High School.
And more coffee, Connie.
Please. I need to be at full speed today, Mrs. Davis. Only a few more days until the election.
Oh, why have you decided to run for the faculty senate is beyond me. Just more work, and you get paid nothing for it.
That's the teaching profession, Mrs. Davis. More work, same pay.
Still, you never did say why you wanted to run. It's never been you to be all that participative in committees and such.
Just thought I should be more involved at this point in my career.
Right, career. Say, who else is running?
Oh, only two of us. It's a special election to fill the seat that history teacher held before he resigned.
Anyone I know?
The history teacher? No, I don't think you knew him. Mr. Barker.
No, not the history teacher. The teacher you're running against.
I think you know her.
Her?
Well, yes, she's just one of the English teachers.
Connie, who is it?
Miss Enright.
I knew it. Why on earth does she provoke this competitive streak in you? Oh, wait. Who is in this faculty senate?
Well, there's a total of 12 members. And now, of course, there are only 11, which is why there's this special election in the first place. What I find strange is that there are only two of us running for this seat. I mean, after all, why wait for the next election?
Connie, is Mr. Boynton on the senate?
Well, yes, he is.
It all comes together. Honestly, Connie, I know you are stuck on this guy, but do you really think this is the way to get him? Oh, wait. This is about Miss Enright not getting to him, right?
Well, someone has been brushing up on solving crimes. Yes, already. I will not allow that little vixen to have him any extra opportunities to be with my Mr. Boynton.
Your Mr. Boynton?
Yes. My Mr. Boynton, why not?
Well, he's not a puppy. Have you thought about what might happen if you lost this election? It might be worse than not running at all. Well, you'd be a loser, and then she'd be a winner.
Well, I can't let her win then, can I? I think I have my votes lined up. I've been lobbying each teacher. Trust me, you don't want to know what promises I've been making.
Oh, I can just imagine. You're not putting anything in writing, are you?
Don't worry. No emails from me. And I have no idea what a server is, let alone one in the basement.
Oh, it's a good thing. And it's not like you play well with others in the first place.
Oh, come on. I get along with everyone.
Really? Who is that French teacher voting for?
You mean the collaborator? It looks like he went over to the enemy again. Typical.
There you go.
I do think I have a good shot at the Italian teacher. If I could win him over, it'd be huge.
Who is this person?
He just started this semester. It came from Italy. You won't believe his name.
Oh?
Luigi Corleone.
You are kidding.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, I'm good, but not that good. Who'd ever think that was a real name? But no matter, a vote is a vote.
Then go get him, Connie. You're already late.
Oh, Miss Brooks.
And so the day starts. Good morning, Mr. Conklin. What can I do for you?
Yes, good morning to you, Miss Brooks.
I just wanted to remind you that first quarter grades are due in 10 days. It's important that they be submitted in a timely manner.
Of course, Mr. Conklin. I have a special notation in my calendar reminding to get them in on your time, as I always do.
Yes, Miss Brooks, I'm going around and reminding all the teachers. I do like a school that runs on schedule.
And I do appreciate that, Mr. Mussolini. Mr. Conklin, an efficient school is a well-regarded school.
Yes, Miss Brooks. I also know that you may be busy campaigning for Faculty Senate, and I just want to make sure that you don't lose track of what's important.
Oh, don't worry about me. I know my priorities. And speaking of priorities, excuse me, Mr. Conklin. Oh, Mr. Boynton, could I talk with you for a minute?
Miss Brooks, just get those grades into me on time.
Will do, Mr. Conklin. You'll have them in plenty of time.
Oh, Mr. Boynton, I just wanted to talk to you about...
Oh, about what, Miss Brooks?
Oh, Miss Enright. I didn't see you skulking in back of the door. Practically attached to Mr. Boynton like a lamprey eel.
Oh, always the witty one you are, Miss Brooks. Of course, if that's all that you have going for you, you have to go with it.
Yes, well, Mr. Boynton, I wanted to discuss an idea I had to develop a cross-curriculum unit across our sophomore English and biology classes.
Oh, well, that sure is a coincidence. Miss Enright was just discussing doing the same thing with her junior English class.
Oh.
Oh, great minds. Think alike, Miss Brooks.
Yes, great minds.
No, I was actually thinking of bringing up Miss Enright's and, well, I guess your idea too, Miss Brooks, at the next Faculty Senate meeting. There are no doubt all kinds of opportunities for these kinds of cross-curriculum classes.
Oh, you are so right, Mr. Boynton.
Yes.
Like history and literature.
Or PE and physics.
Or geometry and geology.
Or romance languages and chemistry.
Oh, brother.
Oh, there's the bell. I have to get to my next class.
Pity. I have a free period.
Oh, well, so do I. Maybe we can talk about this further, Miss Brooks.
Why, I'd love to, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, see you later, Mr. Boynton. Miss Brooks.
Eat dirt, Miss Enright. Say, Mr. Boynton, could I meet you in the teacher's lounge to talk about all of this in a couple of minutes? I see Mr. Corleone, and I need to ask him something.
Okay, I'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Oh, Mr. Corleone, could I talk with you a minute?
Miss Brooke, what may I do for you?
Mr. Corleone, I just wanted to catch you and talk to you for a few minutes, if that's okay. I know we met at the new faculty luncheon, but there are just so many people there. It was just so hard to really have a conversation.
Yes, it was crowded, but I'm so glad we can take a few moments to chat a bit, Miss Brooks.
Oh, please do call me Connie.
Connie?
Yes, that's what I usually go by. My first name is Constance, but everyone calls me Connie.
Ah, yes, a nickname. I'm still getting used to that. I will call you Connie if you call me Luigi.
Agreed. Well, Mr. Luigi, you may have heard that I am running for the vacant seat on the Faculty Senate.
Yes, you and Miss Enright.
Yes, that's right. Ms. Enright is running, too.
Yes, she talked to me about why I should vote for her.
My, she has been a busy bee. Oh, well, that's the American way. We candidates are always pressing the flesh.
Oh, pressing the flesh?
Shaking hands, kissing babies, meeting voters.
Ah, yes.
So, anyway, I would greatly appreciate your consideration and your vote for me.
Connie, I will do that. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I do need to run.
Ciao.
I do need to get to that faculty lounge.
Hey, Miss Brooks.
Oh, great. Stretch, aren't you supposed to be in class?
Here's my pass, Miss Brooks. I'm on my way to the locker room. I have to get changed for the pep rally later. Big game tonight.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that football is more important than class.
Huh?
Oh, never mind.
What can I do for you, Stretch?
I heard you were running for that seat in the faculty senate.
Yes, that's right.
I just wanted to wish you good luck. I hope you get it.
Oh, thank you, Stretch. That's so nice of you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome, Miss Brooks. I just think you're such a better teacher than Miss Enright.
Well, I'm sure she has her qualities.
I mean, just because she's given us extra credit for telling us all the other teachers to vote for her is no reason for her. I want her to win.
My God, she will stop at nothing.
Huh?
Oh, nothing, Stretch. You really should be getting ready for that pep rally.
Okay, Miss Brooks.
Miss Brooks.
Will this torment never end? Yes, Mr. Monet, what can I do for you?
Miss Brooks, I have been waiting for you to lobby me for the vote. Lobby is how you say?
Yes, lobby is the word. And I just didn't want to bother you with all of that.
But Miss Enright had no problem asking for my vote.
I'm sure she didn't. Oh, I have just a different approach to campaigning, that's all.
Miss Enright is right with me. Ideas.
Collaborator. The word suits her.
But you don't like to collaborate, n'est-ce pas? You always say that's what we French did in the war.
You know me, always a kidder. You shouldn't take me so literally, Monsieur Monet. But I really need to be going. Au revoir. For a free hour, it sure has been busy.
Oh, Miss Brooks!
Miss Brooks!
Lord, take me now. Say, kids, aren't you supposed to be in class? Or are you getting ready for the pep rally, too?
How did you know?
Just a wild guess. What can I do for you two?
We just wanted to wish you good luck in your campaign for the faculty senate.
Yeah, Miss Brooks. Good luck to you. You deserve the win.
Oh, thanks, kids.
Yeah, Miss Brooks. You're such a better teacher than Miss Enright.
You really are, Miss Brooks.
Well, we all have our qualities.
Do you know she was practically throwing herself at the Italian teacher, promising all sorts? I mean, Mr. Corleone is dreamy, and with that accent and all, and I mean, if I were older and he were younger...
And what's wrong with the way Americans talk?
Well, nothing, but those foreign accents do drive me crazy. What about you, Miss Brooks? Don't foreign accents drive you crazy?
Well, I guess, but I look for other things, too.
Yeah!
So what exactly is Miss Enright promising?
Oh, just things like working with Mr. Corleone about these joint classes, wanting to talk about all this stuff over dinner, maybe on a weekend.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, she was promising the same stuff to Mr. Monet.
A real world tour.
You would be such a better choice to win. Say, what does the faculty senate do anyway?
We meet and discuss ways to make our teaching better, better curricula, better plans, just working together. Say, kids, I do need to get going. I'm late for a meeting.
See you later, Miss Brooks.
Yep, see you in class.
Nuts.
Connie, is that you?
Yes, Mrs. Davis, it's just me. Just little old loser me.
Oh, I was getting worried. You're so late. What happened? How did the election go? Did you win?
No, I didn't win.
Ah, so Miss Enright won after all.
Well, that's a bit of a silver lining to this story. She didn't win either.
Well, I thought you were the only two running.
We were, except that the election wound up being a tie. We had three go-rounds of voting, and it came up a tie each time. I was waiting for the smoke to come out of the chimney.
I guess. So?
After the third ballot, someone nominated Luigi, the new guy. They thought he would bring fresh blood to the Senate, and sure enough, he won.
Ooh, that's too bad. After all the work you put into the campaigning.
Well, at least Miss Enright didn't win. Half a victory is better than none at all.
Now that is true.
I do have another plan, though.
Connie?
Nothing major. It's not like I'm going to kill her or anything.
Connie, what are you thinking about?
Mrs. Davis, do you still have all those bricks in back of the garage?
Yes. Oh, you're not going to do what I'm thinking, are you?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to build a wall around her house. With her in it.
And this is your announcer, Steve Brown, thanking you for joining us for segment two of our comedy election trio today. We again have been visiting our Miss Brooks and all the folks at Madison High School. Our stars from the 91.1 players were as Miss Enright, Renee Bouchel, Luigi Corleone, and Jacques Monet, as was played by Siegfried Christoph. Mrs. Davis was Vicky Dumay, Harriet Conklin, Alexa Eves, Mr. Boynton Todd Eves, Mr. Conklin, John Alexi. Connie Brooks was played by Janelle Powers. Stretch Snodgrass was Larry Rowe. And Walter Denton was Cam Spencer. Well, that music means it's time once again for our original series, It's the Professor. And now, it's the Professor.
Marty! Marty! Marty!
What?
It's your phone.
Oh. Hello? Really? When? What happened? Okay, I'll be right down.
Marty, who is that?
The hospital.
Which hospital?
St. Bridget's.
But Estelle's?
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
I don't think so.
What? Is Estelle okay?
Oh, yeah, she's okay.
So, what's the problem?
She's out of the coma.
That's great. She's been in that coma for a month. Is she okay?
Oh, yeah. It looks like everything is fine.
So, what's the problem? She's out of coma. She's fine. Everything is good. What could be wrong?
I'll tell you what's wrong. She came out of the coma and I wasn't there. Boy, am I in trouble. I gotta go.
So I was telling the group over in Building 5B how I would make such a great president of the Resident Association. And boy, did they have questions, you know, between you and me. I thought some of those questions were a little bit off the wall, but this is a memory care building. But, you know, they can vote just like everyone else, and I'm just glad I could get in there to talk to them. Let me tell you, they always have so much going on over there. Oh, it's too much for me, I tell you. But, you know, whatever keeps them going, that's what counts.
Schutze! All right, already. So what did they ask you?
Well, they asked me about Woodrow Wilson, like he was running for the president or something. Of course, with this election going on, I sometimes wish Woodrow Wilson were running.
So what did you tell them?
Well, I told them to vote for me.
Okay, Schutze. I mean, God bless these people, but they don't know who's running for president of the country. And they're supposed to remember for you for president of the association.
You know, I thought about that. I gave them each a postcard with my name and picture on it, and then I spritz my perfume on each card. I'm going to work all the senses at once.
Schutze, you will stop at nothing, I swear. Irving, what are you here for? I thought you and Morty were going down to the hardware store. Where's Morty?
She's back.
Who's back?
Estelle.
She's out of the coma?
Yeah, Morty ran down to the hospital.
Estelle came out of the coma and Morty wasn't there?
Yeah.
Poor Morty.
I need more perfume.
Hiya, honey.
Hello, Morty. Thanks for stopping by.
The doctor just called that you were awake.
Yes. I woke up and there was a stranger in my room. Some stranger told me I was in a coma for a month. Not my husband, not my daughter. A stranger.
Estelle, I was visiting you every day. I was even reading those glamour magazines to you. Hadassah would talk to you over the phone.
Oh, I know. People are busy. I know, because I've been busy too. I know what it is to be busy because I gave up that busyness to take care of my husband and my daughter. So I know what it is to be busy.
So how are you feeling?
I feel fine for someone who just came out of a coma for a month.
When can you come home?
The doctor says he wants to run some tests. and then I have to go to a rehab place for therapy.
Well, you look good. I think you lost some weight.
Are you saying I was fat? That it took a coma for me to lose weight?
It's the professor and Vivian May.
Oh, Estelle, hi. We all heard you were out of that nasty coma, and I just had to come and visit you. I grabbed Scott, and he drove Leland and me down here to visit you. So how are you, honey? You look better. Well, better than being in a coma. I'm sorry, but it's just so nice to see you. I mean, it's been so long since we had one of our chats.
Hi, Estelle. We're all so glad to hear you're back with us again. Everyone miss you.
Hi, Estelle. Mona's already planning a party. Well, when you're up to it.
Scott, that's so nice that you came to visit me. I mean, you just being Vivian May's friend and all. You almost beat Morty here. You know, Morty, my husband. The man for whom I bore a child.
Well, of course, I wouldn't miss it. So good to see you. We all know you'd be up and around in no time. I sure could go for a cup of coffee. Yeah, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee and go to the coffee shop. Vivian May, Leland, Morty, would you like a cup of coffee?
Well, I'll take one.
I'll pass.
Your usual one, sugar?
Oh, not this time. I got all the sugar I needed this morning.
Oi. Nothing has changed in a month.
Oh, Estelle, we're just having a little fun.
Apparently.
So, Estelle, when can you come back to Boca del Rio?
It looks like I have to go to rehab for a month, get the muscles working again.
My brother had to go through that after he broke his leg a few years ago. It sure made him work.
If there is anything I know how to do is work. After all, work is what a wife and mother does. Right, Vivian May?
Oh, that's right, Estelle. Say, you know, I'm trying for some new work.
Oh?
Yes, I'm running for president of the Residents Association.
Really?
Yes, and it's so fun talking to people. You know, I already checked, and you can vote absentee. In fact, I happen to have an absentee ballot right here for you. I grabbed it as I ran out the door coming to visit you.
Who else is running?
Oh, you know, just the usual folks. Someone from Phase 2, and you know, Chootsy.
Chootsy's running, too.
Why, yes, she is. Isn't that something? Two of us from Phase 3.
Ganug, I think I need a rest.
Oh, you're so right, sugar. Now, let's all leave, and leave Estelle here to rest. Honey, I'll just leave this absentee ballot on your table right next to your bed.
I'll be right outside, Estelle.
See you soon, Estelle.
Everybody, we have some new neighbors. I'd like everyone to meet Joni and Tony Vandenvogel. They just moved to Florida from Wisconsin.
Hi.
How do you do? I'm Leland.
He's the professor.
Well, that I am. I teach over at the university, British literature. I moved down here from Milwaukee a few years ago. From where in Wisconsin do you hail?
I say there, Professor. Nice to know you. Meet the wife, Joni. Get it? Tony and Joni?
How do you do, Tony? Answer the man's question. We're from Luxembourg.
Luxembourg? I thought you were from Wisconsin.
You hear that, Joan? They think we're from Europe. No. Luxembourg is a town in Wisconsin. Just east of Green Bay. Not all that far from Denmark and Belgium. They're from Wisconsin, too.
Now that you say that, I have heard of Luxembourg. A lot of immigrants from Belgium settled there. In fact, Father Pennings, who founded St. Norbert College, was sent there by the Norbertine Order to serve the immigrants' spiritual needs. Lots of surnames up that way in Flemish ancestry.
And not too sure about that Flemish, but sure lots of Vans, Vandens and Vanders up there.
I used to own a big dairy farm up there, over 150 cows.
That's
quite the operation. But we didn't make any cheese ourselves. We just shipped the milk off to parts unknown.
Oh, that is so interesting. My name is Chutzi. Well, welcome to the neighborhood. I live in that big house over there on the beach. Oh, you will just love it here. I've lived here for so many years now, you know I can't remember. I moved here right after my fourth husband died, Abe. Oh, may he rest in peace. That's Dr. Abe Zuckerman. He was a gynecologist, you know. Oh, it was so sad to see him pass on. Oh, and I should know. I've had four husbands. I buried them all.
Or they killed themselves.
No doubt, happily.
And there is so much to do here.